Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Redemption Hill podcast. We are a community of people learning the way of Jesus to bless our city of Boise, Idaho, and beyond. Redemption Hill is a unique place. We are a collective of micro churches that do life together throughout the week and gather on Sundays to grow, worship, and celebrate what God is doing in our city. You are invited to join us Sundays at 9 a.m. at Discovery Church in Boise, where you can find the community you need in any season of your life. More details can be found at redemptionboise.org. Up next is the teaching segment from this week's Sunday gathering. Afterwards, stay tuned for more information on how to get connected at Redemption Hill.
All right, good morning, guys. Come on in and grab a seat. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew. I'm part of the team here at Redemption Hill. And we are in week three of our series called Coming Back to God. In week one, Robert talked about this idea that Adriana mentioned this morning already, that God is wildly in love with us. Not because of anything we've done, not because of our own merit or worth, not because we're so awesome, but because he is. It's who he is, we're his kids, and he loves us no matter what. Whether you're sitting in church this morning or sitting in prison somewhere, God loves you. In week two, he talked about how sin is a problem. Sin's not a word we use in everyday language, but there's no denying its reality in our world, right? Like Robert mentioned last week, how nobody's gonna like look at everything going on in our world and argue against this concept of sin or for the idea right now that people are generally good, right? Like that's not as popular a belief maybe as it used to be, just because things are so bad. On a global scale, there's war, there's genocide, there's political division, all these things that are causing so much pain everywhere. On a national level, the political divide seems wider than it's ever been. We don't even want to understand people who think differently than us. And in our own communities, the pain and suffering is just as real as well. There's injustice, that the homeless shelters are full, addiction is a real problem. The problem of sin is very, very real, and we're all very aware of it, not just intellectually, but we feel it. We're in a tight spot. We all feel that. And when I say we're in a tight spot, I mean like Edmund in the White Witch's castle kind of tight spot, right? Like we're in trouble. We've taken the Turkish delight. And there's no getting out of it unless someone comes to save us. I'm talking the Battle of Helm's Deep, kind of a tight spot with humanity's back to the wall. And unless someone comes with reinforcements, we're done for. I'm talking Han Solo frozen in a carbonite slab, Luke falling backwards into the Cloud City after finding out that Darth Vader is his father. Things aren't looking good. Thanos has all the stones and he snaps his finger and all of humanity, or half of humanity, disintegrates. Things aren't looking good. And let's be honest about one thing, right? Like, yeah, we're in a tight spot, but can we all just acknowledge to start that there's no saving ourselves? Right? Like, not only is the world this bad, not only are all these things going on, but it's also us, as Robert mentioned last week, right? Like, we have, sin is in our lives. It's not just the people out there, but sin is right here. We cause pain and hurt in the relationships that we have. We cause harm to the people that we love the most. There's no saving ourselves. On top of all that sin, we're pretty busy too. There's diapers to change, floors to vacuum, sports schedules to keep up with, homework to turn in, bosses that you have to keep happy. We cannot save ourselves. There's real cause for despair in the world. That hasn't changed since the first century, but what has changed is we have cause for hope. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says this. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, that's our situation, that's humanity. We're powerless to save ourselves. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own wild love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were actively resisting the work that God wanted to do in our lives and in the world around us, while we were in active rebellion to God's ways, he still died for us. Jesus shows up and spends 33 years showing people how to live in God's kingdom and spent his final 3 years of ministry teaching us how to live. He taught mostly about this kingdom, and his teachings seemed pretty upside down or backwards. He said things like, the poor are the greatest in his kingdom. He said to love your enemies, to rejoice when you suffer. He modeled humility and service instead of manipulation and consolidation of power. He loved the poor and marginalized. He chose the weakest to be at the center of his kingdom. He chastised and rebuked the powerful and those who sought to climb the ladder at the expense of others. He even claimed divine attributes. Naturally, the people in power did not like this, so they killed him. 3 days later, the same Jesus rose from the dead and for 40 days continued to preach the good news to those who would listen. Here's what was happening. Right under the noses of the religious leaders who wanted Jesus dead, Jesus had been fulfilling prophecy after prophecy from the Old Testament of the coming Messiah who would defeat the power of sin and restore the relationship between humanity and God. But see, Jesus didn't just teach and model what life could look like in contrast to our self-centered, self-destructive existence. No, in his death and resurrection, he actually initiated a cosmic shift in the universe where possibility for relationship with God before was nearly impossible, if not impossible. Jesus made a way for us to have access to our Creator. Where we were constantly working against ourselves and our neighbors, creating pain and destruction all around us, Jesus made a way for us to live and be differently, not just as an ideal, but he actually gave us the Holy Spirit so we would have power to follow through on living in Jesus' kingdom. He set us free from our mess, forgave us for the wrong we have done, and gave us the power to live differently through God's transformation in our lives. He was going to do the work in us. So yes, God's plan is this cosmic plan of rescuing us from this problem of sin and death. But it's not just cosmic. It's also very, very personal. God's plan of rescue is about you. In somewhat of a rare conversation in terms of the biblical record, Jesus was once having a private conversation with one of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher. He knew the law, the scripture backwards and forwards, but Jesus gets straight to the point and says, Nicodemus, you have to be born a second time if you want to see the kingdom of God. He says again later, you have to be born again if you want to enter into the kingdom. See, being born again or following Jesus or being rescued isn't just about acknowledging a list of things that are true, but it's about spiritual rebirth. It's about literally being born again from the inside out. Your spiritual rebirth, your being born again, is part of God's plan of rescue. He wants to save you from your sin so that you can be with him now and forever. Beloved, saved, free. in Jesus' wild act of rescue and self-sacrifice. He saves us. Literally saves us from our own mess and spiritually. He adopts us into his family. The picture of adoption is like one of my favorite. Everybody deserves a family, right? And when you choose to follow Jesus, when you're born into this world, you have a family. That's what this is meant to be, right? Not just here on Sunday, but in our lives, the real world outside of these four walls. Let me say this. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you haven't been born again, you're not viewed by us, by the people of the church, as like a sinner, an outsider. It's not what we see. You know that feeling you get when a pregnant mom walks into the room and you know it's like she's about to pop, like it's almost time. And people are always asking her questions like, when is it going to be? How close is it? And there's like this anticipation for new life. If you know the family or it's part of your family, you like can't wait to meet this new baby and hold them. That's what we feel. We anticipate the new life that we long for you to experience. He doesn't just save us and adopt us. He heals us. He breathes his life into us. He affirms us. Many of us have struggles with identity, with how we see ourselves. We're aware of our faults, but guess what? So is he. And he still died for us. That doesn't do something for you. He affirms us. He's given us everything we need to fulfill the calling and the purpose that he has for our lives. He teaches us. He forms us and shapes us. He comforts us through the Holy Spirit. He advocates for us. He guides us. He gives us family. And here's one that I think is hard for us to process sometimes. He invites us to join him on the rescue mission. This is one of my favorite because it's such a gift. It's such a gift. Let me give you an example. So I'm a dad, and I love to fish. Breaking news. I love to fish. I spend a lot of time with my kids at home. I tuck them in to bed at night. I read them books. I change diapers. If you're home, there is literally... I joke all the time, there's always a butt to wipe. Always. There's never a time when somebody doesn't need wiped. One of my favorite things to do with my kids is snuggle with them, right? Like kids are just like, psh, 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 go once they're fully awake. But in those moments, like right after a nap or in the morning when they first wake up and they don't quite have the energy yet and they like crawl up on the couch with you and you're like, oh, this is so good. I just get to be with them for a minute. I love all those things. I love spending time at home with them. But what I really can't wait to do is do with them the things that I love to do, right? And fishing is one of those things. I remember with Emmy, when she was very little, every Thursday I would take her, load her up in the car, and take her to Cabela's, Boise's free aquarium. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so we would pull up in the parking lot, and she would start saying, ish, 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 because she knows we're going to see fish, right? And put her in the stroller and take her in, and she'd just point at the fish, and it was just like a thing we did together every day. I would read her books about fishing, totally brainwashing her. And not long after she was two, well before she was ready, mind you, I took her to a little pond with a cane pole, put a worm on the hook, and she caught her first fish. Right? She got to experience catching a fish, even though I was doing all the work. It was a great experience. I've done the same thing with Cal. Cal caught his first fish this summer right after turning two. And Lucy is probably in for much of the same. The same things happened with my recent golf fixation. Right? I've taken Cal and Emmy to the putting green. I took Cal to play a nine-hole course and put him in the stroller, had some clubs in the bottom. And every time we get to a green, I'd get out and let him like putt around. Mostly it's stressful for me. But he loves it, and I love that he gets to be with me and do that. And now he is addicted to golf. He's always asking me to hit the golf ball with him. He loves it more than I do. on a more serious note, I truly long, like I look forward to the day when I get to take my kids to Uganda. Like that's such an important part of my world, a part of my world that you guys often don't get to see. But my kids are young now, and so it's probably not the wisest thing to pack them up and take them to another country deep into the African bush where there's malaria and other risks like that. But I look forward to the day where I can take them and they can see that part of my world that they can't see right now. Like I get emotional thinking about seeing Emmylou as a teenager walking the streets, those red dirt roads in the middle of nowhere that I know, and meeting the people that I know and have given so much of my life to. Like I long for that. Our Father is the same way. Right? Like we tend to have this divide where we think about what God's done for us and the grace and freedom that he provides and being with him. But God also wants us to go outside of the house, right? Like he wants us to do the stuff with him that he loves to do. We often think that mission or fall or doing these things with God is like this thing that we have to do to earn God's favor or to earn his approval, right? But that's not reality. Like when I take Cal golfing, I don't expect him to hit a hole in the one, hole in one. I know golf. I don't expect my kids to like be able to catch a fish by themselves, right? I'm just happy to be with them. And our Father's the same way. He wants to go with us. Mission or joining Jesus on this rescue mission isn't this like impossible task that we have to do to earn God's favor, but it's this thing that we get to do, right? It's this thing we get to participate in. What is there really to like, it's not like, this, it's hard to communicate, but it's not like this humdrum like thing that we have to do, but it's this thing we get to do. Our God is the one who can reverse death, right? If he can do these things, why wouldn't I want to go with him and see what he does in the wild, right? Like, why wouldn't I want to experience that? We get to join God on his rescue mission. He set us free from the prison and given us the keys, and we get to go back in and watch other people get set free. He's literally given us the keys to the kingdom. What a gift to have a father like that who wants to take us with him. So we're all in different spots today, right? Like we're all at different spots in our faith and in our journey. I just want to take a moment and try to speak to each of us in a different way here. Some of us just need to surrender this morning, right? Like some of you are that unborn baby in the womb, and it's like 9 months and 2 weeks. And we're like, come on, when are you just going to let go and let God do what he does in your life? We're like ready for that for you. I have cousins that I grew up with that I was really close with, and I remember swimming in a friend's pool one time, and my younger cousin was not a great swimmer, and he was in the deep end kind of swimming, and he started to get really scared, like he wasn't going to make it to the edge, and he started panicking and thrashing in the water, and my older cousin jumped in the water to rescue him, to save him, and as he's like grabbing him, trying to pull him to the water, my younger cousin is like fighting him and scratching him and pushing him down, almost drowning him, his own rescuer, because he's just trying to keep his head above water. And I think some of us are like that, right? Like we're resisting rescue, and we just need to like let go and surrender and just let God do what he does. Others of you are in a hard season, right? Like you feel need for rescue right now. Things are bad, things are tight, feel overwhelmed. And God's not like asking you to go do some crazy thing or even to help anybody else outside of your world right now. He just wants you to curl up on the couch and be with him. And for those of you who are not in such a place of burden and need for rescue, we need to pay attention to the people around us in our community, right? Like, if we are a spiritual family, then we need to look out for our people, for our brothers and sisters, and be able to show up for them when they need it. Some of us need to quit piddling. I was really excited to use that word today. Piddling, what a great word. You guys know what piddling is? I'm really, really good at piddling. There's like, you know, projects that don't really need to get done. So I ignore the major projects and just like fool around with the stuff that doesn't really need to get done. Yeah, yeah. And you get it like 80% done and then you leave it and move on to the next thing. Some of us are really good at piddling. And in our life, we have things that we're really good at piddling with, whether it's social media, entertainment, watching our favorite shows. Maybe it's golf, maybe it's fishing, right? We have these things that draw us in, but that could also, listen, also keep us from paying attention to our Father's invitation to do something really important or meaningful, even in the life of one person. Some of us need to stop self-distracting and pay attention to what God is inviting us into. All of us, no matter where you're at, need to hear, just be quiet and be still and hear God's voice. What is God asking you to do in this season? You need to hear his invitation to be with him and maybe to go with him. We could never rescue ourselves, but by God's grace, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. See, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The rescue mission is done. He's done the work. We could never save ourselves. We could never earn it. We could never prove it. He's done it for each of us. And now we get to be with a really good Father. We get to participate in what he does. What a gift. Father, I thank you this morning for your wild love for us. It truly doesn't make sense, and sometimes it's hard to fathom. I know between piddling and proving something, God, I often get far too distracted from this reality. That I was powerless to save myself and you saved me. I get far too distracted with other things, with trying to fix things, to realize that you're the one who actually can fix it. Like the problems that I want to see solved, the people that I want to see rescued, the change I want to see in the world, it's still you. It's still you who does the rescuing, Lord. I just want to honor you and thank you for that. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for rescuing us, God. I ask that you speak to each of us. And tell us what we need to hear today. Whether we need to be rescued for the first time or whether we need to begin doing a little rescuing with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Make sure to subscribe to get the weekly episodes in your podcast feed. You can find out more on how to get connected with Redemption Hill at redemptionboise.org/connection. where you can fill out the Connect card and start your journey today. For regular encouragement throughout the week, follow us on Instagram at Redemption Boise. We are so glad you're here and are excited to accompany you in your story with God. We hope to see you soon.